Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke's Gospel, jumping actually not only into the middle of the book, but into the middle of one of the chapters, Luke chapter 17. I'm going to begin in verse 11 and read a familiar and instructive story. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Years ago, I had a group of people who were very upset with me because I had publicly taken a stand on a certain issue in our culture. And these people were protesting outside of our church, and they were upset because they said that I had said that they were sinners. Well, only that what they were doing was sinful. But the reason they were doing what they were doing, which was sinful, was because they're sinners. Just like me. And I clarified for the press. When I say somebody is sinful, doing something sinful, I'm not casting stones at them. I'm saying all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what God says about it in his word. Well, given that background, given that reality, let's look again at this passage from Luke's gospel. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. What's going to happen in Jerusalem? Jesus is going to die. And the reason he's going to die is because that's the only way that we could be saved. The only way that we could have our sins forgiven is for God to offer a perfect sacrifice, which is why Jesus came. Jesus was born to die. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he knows where he's going, and he knows why he's going. He knows that he's going to die for our sins. And on the way there, he's traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And suddenly, 10 men stand at a distance and call out to him in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, why were they at a distance? Because they had leprosy. The particular illness that they had was one that made it illegal for them to get around other people. They had to live in isolation It was a horrible, miserable life. And so following the rules, they stayed at a distance and called to Jesus. His fame was so great that even at a distance, they knew who he was. And they knew that he could help them. And they also knew that he was the only one who could help them. There was no one else who could heal the leper. But Jesus could do so. And Jesus had done so. And the word had spread. There were people who knew. Years and years ago, John Wayne lived next door to a songwriter out in Southern California. And John Wayne said to this man, you know, your life has really changed. I mean, I've known you a while, and I can tell that you're not the same man. You're different. And this songwriter responded, well, it's no secret what God can do. And John Wayne said, that'd be a good title for a song. And so the man went inside and he wrote a song that became a classic of gospel music. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Let me tell you something, folks. We are responsible to make sure it's not a secret. We are responsible to live in such a way that people can see the change in us. And we need to live a lifestyle that demands a miraculous explanation. Why are we not chasing what the world chases? Why are we not upset about the things that upset the world? And why are we not thrilled about the things that thrill the world? Why are we instead focused on things that the world can't comprehend? Susan got to share with some friends from Africa this week the story of how a man at Children's Hospital years ago, when Paul was going through another very difficult time, this man there in the corridor at Children's Hospital said to Susan, how can you be so calm and so happy at a time like this? And she got to answer the question. You see, it's no secret what God can do. And so these lepers, these 10 lepers, knew who Jesus was, and they knew that he could make a difference if he would have pity on them. They knew it was within his power, but they were not sure if he would care for them. And so they cried out, have pity on us. And Jesus did. But look at how he did it. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. If you believed that you'd gotten over your leprosy, you were commanded to go to the priest, and the priest was the one who had to certify whether or not you were indeed healed, whether or not you could therefore return to your family. Jesus didn't say to them, be healed. Jesus didn't say to them what he said to another leper whom he touched. I am willing. Be clean. Jesus simply told them what to do. And that is, go to those who are in authority in this matter and show them what God has done. Now that seems silly. I mean, why would we? I mean, we still have leprosy. Why would we go when nothing's changed? Nothing's happened. I look just like I did before. Why would I go to the priests? I want to ask you a question. Why should they go to the priests? Because Jesus said to. Jesus said to. I was asking a little boy why he wanted to be baptized. And he said, because God says I should. I said, where did he say that? He said, in the Bible. Ding! Guess what? There's only one reason to do it. God says to. That's the only reason. It's not about how I feel. It's not about what others think. It's about what God says. Why should these folks go to the priest? Because Jesus told them to. Why was Peter able to walk on the water? Because Jesus said, come. Just one word. That's all it took. When we walk in obedience, the miraculous power of God is on display. As they went, they were cleansed. Do you see that?
You know, I wish God would do a miracle in my life. I've been praying for years that God would do something in my life, and I'm just not seeing it.
Well, have you done what he told you to do?
Well, I will if he'll do what I told him to do.
What kind of attitude is that? I'm surprised you're still able to breathe. But, I mean, that's the attitude we tend to have. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you'll see it when you believe it. Start obeying God. Just do what he says. Just do what he says. Well, but I still have leprosy. Jesus said, go to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. You know, the greatest thing you could do to express gratitude to God for what he's already done in your life this week? Obey him. Just obey him. Do what he says. If you're not doing what God says, then how in the world are you showing a grateful heart? If you mean it when you say thank you, then do it when he says do it. Jesus told them, go to the priests and show yourselves. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. One. There were 10. One came back to say thank you. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you think the other guys were excited? Or do you think they said, oh, wow, that's remarkable. Man, I've been healed. That's cool. That's great. No, I guarantee you those other guys were excited too. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ran the final stretch of distance to the priest. I wouldn't even be surprised if they ran to show their family and friends. And maybe even gave credit to Jesus. You know, you remember that Jesus guy? You've heard about him? Well, let me tell you what he did. I've been healed. Well, okay, they gave testimony. But they didn't give thanks to him. Here's a guy, the Samaritan, who hasn't yet been certified, but he knows he's been healed. And before he does anything else, he wants to come and thank Jesus. I want to ask you a question honestly. When was the last time that you just wanted to get with Jesus and say thank you? Not just a perfunctory kind of, you know, and
thank you for our daily bread.
But I mean really pour out your heart. This guy fell at his feet, okay? He threw himself on the ground in front of Jesus, totally humbled himself, and said, thank you. Do you know what that gratitude is? What Jesus did for us, the price he paid. He died so that we could live. He was beaten and stripped and hung on a cross till death. for us. Does it move you? Are you grateful? Do you thank him? Will you obey him? He calls us to a life of gratitude, a life of obedience, a life of thanksgiving. And the reason we're here today, if we have come rightly, is because we know the good news is true, and we want to say thank you. And we want to make ourselves available to him to do whatever he wants us to do. We're here because we're his. So, Jesus was not surprised that this guy returned. Jesus expressed surprise that he was the only one who returned. Where are the others? Were there not 10? Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Famous words. Famous question. I'm going to add a question. Are you the one or are you part of the 9? Which is really a better description of you? Are you one whose heart is overflowing with gratitude and thanks to God? Or are you busy enjoying your healing? Jesus didn't say, well, I guess this is the only one that got healed. Jesus knew that the others were healed. The others had obeyed. They too went. But as they experienced the miraculous answer to prayer, as they experienced the outpoured blessing of God, they got focused on the blessing and not on the blesser. They were focused on the gift and not the giver. And Jesus desires intimacy with his people. He wants us not just to say, I'm healed. He wants us to say, thank you. To want to be with him. Is it a chore to spend time in prayer? Is it a chore to spend time in God's word? I will tell you honestly, from an emotional standpoint, there have been times in my life when it's been like that. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing that changes that and changes the dynamic of my spending time with God and enjoying it is when I'm grateful. When I consider what he has done for me, all of a sudden it is very easy to want to spend time with him. If I'm not being grateful, if I'm focused on what I don't have instead of what I do have, if I'm focused on the things that haven't gone the way I wanted instead of on the wisdom of a God who knows what is best for me, if I'm focused on my circumstances instead of on my Savior, then sometimes I just have to read some verses and go down my prayer list, and it's no joy at all. But when I'm focused on him, he's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, he's really, really wonderful. God is not boring. You understand? I mean, he's not. He's glorious. And everything good comes from him. All of it. There's not, I mean, we get distracted by the stuff that God has blessed us with instead of realizing that as great as that stuff is, he's the blesser. Go to him. Enjoy him. Focus on him. Consider his wisdom. Consider the works of his hands. Marvel at his might and power. Marvel at his kindness and patience. celebrate his love. So, Jesus said, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Please understand this. Jesus wasn't saying this because he was prejudiced against the Samaritans. Jesus was saying how disgraceful it was that the people who claim to be the people of God, the people who claim to have this in with God, universally to a man had failed to do what all of them should have done. The only one who got it right was the one who was least likely to get it right. Does that have any application for us? I think so. Because in this culture, we should be the ones to get it right. I mean, we're the foreigners, historically speaking. But now that we know God, now that we are his people, now that we've been born again, now that we've been made part of the family of God, we of all people should be the ones giving thanks, not complaining, not grumbling, not whining. I deserve to be cast from God's presence. And instead, he came and endured the worst treatment that a criminal could be afforded in order to spare me God's wrath. How can I not be grateful to such a Savior? I want to say thank you. I want my life to say thank you. And that means I want to obey him. Obedience is what he's looking for. That's the real thanks. Trust and obey. So, Jesus said to the Samaritan, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. We do a whole sermon on that last sentence, but let me tell you. What that man got from Jesus, Jesus sent him back to go ahead and receive the official verdict of the priests. Sent him back on his way, having obviously commended him. But Jesus says something else to him when he says, your faith has made you whole. He's talking about more than just leprosy. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, where you trust him and you obey him, that is evidence that God has worked in your heart real faith, saving faith, the kind of faith without which it is impossible to please God. You and I have to recognize we can't achieve a right relationship with God by what we do. But when God gives us faith to believe, when God births in us that trusting relationship with him so that we recognize this is the Lord's doing, he saved me, then we can go in confidence doing what he's told us to do, knowing that we are whole, made whole by his power, by his grace, received through faith. Thanks be to God.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.